out. Right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Earl. How are you?
What are you talking about, man? A balmy 43 degrees.
I know. It was must have got cold this morning, though, because the roads were a little icy, but I don't think it's going to last long.
Hey, man, it's 43 degrees February 1st. We should all be celebrating. I mean, just unbelievable. For the next 2 weeks, we're going to be 40 and above, and possibly reaching 50 degrees. Man. You know, I don't know, man. I don't know if there's any other place I'd rather be other than where my guest is right now. I want to welcome to the airways a good friend, a long-standing friend. This is a man who remembered me when I used to call his radio show. And I was that guy calling, you know, the airways and listening to him every morning, none other than my former co-worker. Let me give you a little background on Joe McNally. He's a national award-winning newspaper columnist, longtime political commentator on Milwaukee radio and television. After graduating from Indiana University, Joe worked for 2 years at the Chicago Tribune and for 27 years at the Milwaukee Journal, where he won a National Headliners Award for consistently outstanding local column and numerous state and local journalism awards. Since 1997, Joel has written a column for the Shepherd Express, where he also was editor for 2 years. Joel's broadcast experience includes working on Milwaukee Public Television as a contributing producer for Inside View and for more than 20 years as a regular panelists on its weekly news roundtable interchange. Look, I can go on and on and on and on, and then we wouldn't get a chance to talk to Joel as we are going to about his last three articles that I've read in, you know, the Shepherd Express. Good morning to you, Joel. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Earl. I love hearing all that stuff. But, you know, while I really appreciated you calling my radio show, but I was even more appreciative of all the calls you made to Mark Belling and Charlie Sykes and people like that to kind of enlighten them too. And I actually thought you deserved to be on the radio then. I'm so glad that you are.
You know, Joe, people don't know. I tell them the story. I wound up in radio by calling conservative boards like Charlie Sykes and Mark Belling and Jay Weber. And these were conservative stalwarts at that point in time. And they would just be running roughshod over my community and saying all horrible things about my community that they knew nothing about. And so I would always call them and challenge them. But anyway.
As you know, I appeared regularly with them as well, both on radio and television. It is so stupid for radio and TV stations to either be, you know, left or right. You know, the whole idea in this country is we're supposed to talk to each other and we're supposed to understand each other and get to know something about each other. And you know what? The entire population of America knows that, except the people who just blindly follow one way. And we know who those people are because they are very ignorant and they're right out there being ignorant every day. I'm just glad that we're doing what we're doing.
So, Joe, I was telling you about balmy Milwaukee. 43 degrees, man.
I always check to see what it's going to be, just so I can go, so I can respond. I have to say that today in Charlottesville, Virginia, it is only supposed to be up to around 60.
Only?
So, only 60. Well, the reason I can say that, with a straight face, is that just 2 or 3 days ago, it was 76. it was 76.
Well, Joel, that was one of the reasons why you and the wife left Milwaukee.
You know what? We left in April, and I believe that was one of those Aprils when it snowed in Milwaukee. So, that's true. That's true. But we had a great time there, and we have so many great friends there still.
Yeah,
so,
I
always appreciate talking to you.
When I told people that I was going to have Joe McNally on, from the old days, They're all excited and they're listening this
getting
morning.
Getting older so. All the time though. Dave.
Oh yeah. So they're listening. So Joel, I want to begin. We're going to be interrupted for a short time this morning by Mayor Johnson, who is going to call for about 10 minutes or 15 minutes, I think, Joel, to talk about Joe Biden. So, but other than that, it's you and I for the entire 2 hours. Let's go, Joel, to an article that you wrote. And by the way, people can get your articles in the Shepherd Express. You write every week.
They're posted weekly.
Yeah, you post it weekly. Yeah. And how do they go about doing that?
How they go about doing it?
Yeah. Go on the internet.
ShepherdExpress.com.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And look up Joe. And look up Joe McNally. So Joe.
They also publish a monthly magazine, which is distributed a lot in the community. But the easiest way is always on the website.
You know, Joe, as I was thinking about getting ready for the show this morning, I was thinking about one of your nemesis, Kevin Fisher. You remember Kevin Fisher?
Do I ever? when we did our final show on Channel 10. On public television, one of the things I told Kevin from the bottom of my heart that I thought it was a tribute to our relationship that for 20 years, it's only one time I swore at him off the air. that does show that Kevin was under some disadvantage.
No kidding.
He really was. He was there to give the Republican talking points. I mean, they're basically paid to do that. And just like Donald Trump.
I have to interrupt you. We're going to take Mayor Cavalier Johnson from the city of Milwaukee. And Joe, we'll come back to you in a few minutes. I want to welcome Mayor Cavalier Johnson back on the airways. Good morning to you, Mayor Johnson. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing well. Happy Black History Month.
Yes, sir. We're going to be doing a lot in the name of Black History here at Civic Media. So thank you as well.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate having the opportunity to come on.
Yeah, so you there's something you certainly wanted to talk about this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Considering the fact that it is Black History Month, I just wanted to reflect on the fact that there have been so many folks in our history, leaders who have put in so many years and time and effort in order to lift everybody up. It's also a time to remember that it's up to us to continue that fight so that our ancestors know that their work was not in vain. And here in Milwaukee, I'm urging folks to be engaged. I'm urging them to get up, to get out, to vote, to start paying attention to the presidential race that's coming up this year. And it's really now that we've got a lot that's on the line. It's about the fight for racial equality, the fight for civil rights, the fight for every citizen to be treated as equal. All of that's happening right now, and a major part of that, and a major part of how we can engage in that, is by exercising our right to vote to reelect Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Our country, our state, our community, that's making a lot of progress under President Biden's administration. And to let Donald Trump back in office would be a wrong turn at the wrong time. When I think about that, I think about the president's economic plan, which is working. I mean, last year alone, 42,000 jobs were created right here in the state of Wisconsin. And that's more than any year than during the Trump administration. And under Joe Biden, the black unemployment rate reached an all-time low. And that's the kind of progress that you can't ignore. And it's not just that. I mean, the biggest investment in HBCUs ever has happened under President Joe Biden. And increasing Pell Grants so college is more affordable no matter what school young people, and especially young black people, choose to attend. And certainly the president has been trying to lift black voices, and there were black voices in South Carolina that propelled him to the nomination and eventually the White House. But think about this. When Joe Biden became the president, he wanted to make sure that black voices continued to be elevated. That's why you see Lloyd Austin leading the Department of Defense. That's why you see Michael Regan leading the Environmental Protection Agency. That's why you see Ketanji Brown Jackson as the first black woman on the United States Supreme Court. That's why you see Kamala Harris as the first woman and first black woman being the vice president of the United States, all under President Joe Biden.
Well, a lot of work to do. You know, Mayor Johnson, you left yourself out. You're the first black mayor, not interim. And it happens that it's happened, and as well as County Executive David Crowley, it's happened during the time that Joe Biden has been president of the United States.
Well, thank you for mentioning that, Earl. I never forget the fact that my own time initially in this office was directly correlated to actions from President Joe Biden. It's President Biden that appointed the former mayor, Tom Barrett, to be U.S. ambassador while I was council president, and that allowed me to ascend into the mayor's office. So in a way, my presence here in the mayor's office can be attributed to President Joe Biden.
So Mayor Johnson, can you hang on 1 second? We've got to take a really short hiatus. Sure. We'll be right back. Mayor Cavalier Johnson's on the line. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Don't touch that phone or that radio. We'll be right back. Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. On the phone line, Mayor Cavalier Johnson of the City of Milwaukee. You know, Mayor Johnson, you were talking about Black History Month, and you were talking about the things. You know, I'm a little older than you are, but I have to tell you, it's this struggle that we are dealing with now with DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. It is hurtful to see that there are people who are looking to overturn, what our ancestors fought for, and there's an assault on diversity, equity, and inclusion that is happening right now, and it's Black History Month, and it's, I think, to not mention it is an insult to people, that while there are people who understand the importance of it, there are also people who are willing to do everything within their power to undo the history of our nation.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Look, I mean, the United States is a country that had and continues to have struggles around race. This is a nation that started off with the original sin of slavery. Everybody didn't start off on an even playing field in this country, even though our Constitution and our founding documents proclaim that all men should be created equal, our Declaration of Independence. And so that just was not the case for many people, whether they were Black and transported here as slaves, whether they were immigrants from other countries that decided to come here to make a better way of life for themselves. And it's a shame that even today, you know, all these years later in 2024, that we've got people who are trying to undermine efforts around diversity, equity, and inclusion to lift people up who've had challenges trying to live out that simple American dream that all of us aspire to. We should call that out, and we should work to make sure that everybody has a seat and a voice at the table.
You know, Mayor Johnson, you've been around. You've been the mayor now for 2 years. You were around during Tom Barrett's time for a number of years. And so you have been in our city, has certainly benefited from plenty of programs that President Joe Biden has implemented. I remember as well, and I'm sure as you do, when our streets were like landmines, and there were no resources. It was one of the things that was always a major problem at City Hall. No resources to fix anything. You know, there's certainly been some resources that have come into the city since you've been mayor that the former mayor didn't have an opportunity to have, and a lot of those things are attributed to President Joe Biden. Is it safe to say that?
That is absolutely safe to say. In fact, you know, I get a lot of credit for, you know, working to make sure the city is on a stronger financial footing because we were facing this fiscal cliff for 30 years that had gone unsolved. The truth of the matter is that the city of Milwaukee would have already fallen off of that fiscal cliff were it not for President Joe Biden and his American Rescue Plan Act, especially during the pandemic. If that didn't happen, the city would have faced a devastating financial shortfall, resulting in layoffs of roughly half of the Milwaukee Police Department, roughly a quarter of the Milwaukee Fire Department. Our libraries would have been shuttered, and 400 or so other city employees who deliver vital services across Milwaukee would have been laid off and not on the job either. It's only because the lifeline that was presented to us by President Joe Biden that we were able to have the extra space and time necessary to make sure that the city found its financial footing. So yes, absolutely. President Joe Biden has been really a godsend to Milwaukee, and not just Milwaukee, but communities across Wisconsin and across the United States.
So you stole my thunder when you talked about the rest of the state. I mean, the resources that have come to the rest of the state. And somehow, you know, people don't want that story and that truth to be told. And that's part of the reason why you're on the air this morning, and why others across this nation, we want to make sure they understand the fight, the battle that President Biden has been willing to wage, and the bipartisanship that in many instances prior to him didn't exist.
Right. And that's extremely important. And it's interesting you talk about the bipartisanship. I mean, another huge, huge development under President Joe Biden's administration has been the bipartisan infrastructure law and his support for infrastructure generally in communities around the country. In Milwaukee, we've benefited significantly and will continue to benefit significantly as it relates to having more federal resources to invest in our infrastructure, to make our streets safer, to cut down on reckless driving, to make sure that we build protected bike lanes, to make sure that, you know, kids and youth in our community have safer access to school and to parks, working to make sure that communities are reconnected in our community. And that's just here in Milwaukee. I mean, you go across the state of Wisconsin, you see a number of infrastructure projects and economic development projects that are going on. In fact, the president was just here in the state last week, a Thursday, I believe it was, way up in Superior, working to make a huge investment, $1 billion, in the Blatnik Bridge that connects Superior, Wisconsin, with Duluth, Minnesota. That bridge has needed to be repaired for some time. And President Joe Biden, he got it done. He got it done.
You know, Mayor Johnson, you've got 2 minutes to let people know the importance of the election, the importance of getting out to vote and continuing along the path that we're on.
Well, it couldn't be more important. And it couldn't be more important because we already know what the opposition looks like. We know who the Republican nominee is going to be. It's going to be Donald Trump. And we cannot let Donald Trump return to the White House for more reasons than one, right? The Republicans have sought to end abortion rights for women across the country. And we've had just horrible stories of women having to travel across state lines, even when they develop things like sepsis, like Vice President Kamala Harris said when she came to Wisconsin a couple of weeks ago. They could be on the verge of death and still not be able to receive the care. And if Donald Trump were reelected president, he'd be trying to institute a national abortion ban. We talk about jobs and the need to grow our economy. Well, under Joe Biden, the stock market has reached an all-time high. Black unemployment has reached an all-time low. Jobs continue to be added at a higher clip than any president ever, and that includes the former president. In fact, Donald Trump lost jobs in the economy when he was president, while Joe Biden's administration continually works to add more jobs in our state, in our community, and across the United States. You know, Joe Biden is working to make sure that folks in our community, folks who need assistance, need resources, get the help they need. That's why he worked to make sure that insulin was kept at $35 a month for seniors. That's what they're working right now to make sure that folks who have kids get an expanded child income tax credit. It's tax time right now. Donald Trump would focus on making sure that billionaires got those resources. So the choice is quite obvious to me. Now, I guess if you put it like this, Donald Trump is a guy that'll give you a fish. Joe Biden is the type of guy that will teach you how to fish.
Hey Mayor Johnson,
that's an important distinction.
Thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule. You're always welcome here.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Mayor Cavalier Johnson of the city of Milwaukee. When we get back, we're going to be joined once again by none other than Joe McNally. 844-967-2789 is the number. At 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. I want to welcome back my very special guest and friend, none other than Joel McNally. So, Joel, I want to go back to an article you wrote in the Shepherd Express January 16th. I don't know if you remember it. Court demolishes Trump's absurd claim of immunity to commit crimes. Joel, let's talk a little bit about that article and how it's possible that people can hear this man say those things and totally dismiss them and say, well, none of those things matter. That's still my guy.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, and you and I talk about this a lot, because I maintain you never understood me on this. So I want to talk about this. I believe there are probably only about 30% of Republicans who actually believe the ridiculous lies that Donald Trump tells. I mean, you and I have talked before. We know people who lie a lot. Everyone knows someone in their life who you know they lie
yes.
all the time, and it's mostly to, you know, enhance their own image of themselves or something. It's pretty innocuous, most of it, and most of it is just ridiculous. Now, let me tell you what's really ridiculous someone who lies all the time. I've never known anyone in my life, and I don't think you have either,
no.
who lies all the time. I've said before, Donald Trump lies like he breathes. He really does. Every time he opens his mouth, he lies. He simply does. And the thing is, most Republicans know this. There are some people. Believe me, he did attract some new people to the Republican Party. He isn't just getting the old Republicans. He did attract to vote for him as the presidential candidate. He attracted neo-Nazis and Klansmen who had never voted for either Democrats or Republicans, because to them, they don't support democracy. They are white supremacist. They don't like democracy. They don't like the fact that black people and brown people and women as well as men, have the right to vote. They really don't. They don't support democracy, and neither does Donald Trump. And he has always been a white supremacist. Do you know that he and his father were actually prosecuted by the Justice Department under Richard Nixon for being racist? Okay? I mean, Richard Nixon was the first racist criminal president who actually betrayed the party of Abraham Lincoln when, after Lyndon Johnson passed the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act, after, on the floor of a joint session of Congress, he actually quoted the anthem of the civil rights movement, "We Shall Overcome," to pass the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act. And Richard Nixon then, Lyndon Johnson did great things as far as domestic policy and passing civil rights in America and becoming the president of the United States who accomplished that in the 1960s. But he did horrible things about foreign policy in the Vietnam War and that racist war that Martin Luther King, as well as the leaders in the civil rights movement, opposed. That was the next great movement after the civil rights movement was the anti-war movement against the United States setting up puppet governments in countries like Vietnam to control other nations with corrupt governments, and that's why Lyndon Johnson couldn't run for re-election, and Richard Nixon got elected by attracting all of the white supremacists who were the Southern Democrats who had opposed civil rights to the Republican Party. It was shameful, but it worked. What was when you and I were growing up, Earl, the solid South was solidly Democratic. After Richard Nixon attracted the Southern white racists that opposed civil rights, The Southern white races became Southern Republican white races, and they have been ever since, frankly. And the Republican Party has been solid Republican ever since Richard Nixon until, guess what, Joe Biden won Georgia and Arizona, two long time Southern states that oppose civil rights, and now we say that Donald Trump didn't invent racism in the Republican Party. It's always been used. They talk in coded language to attract races. What Donald Trump did was talk openly about racism and black and brown people who talking about, we don't want to attract immigrants from Africa because that obscene word he used to describe those countries. we want to attract, well, how about some white immigrants from the Netherlands or something?
Hey, Joe, he said that.
How about members of Congress who are black and brown women, and he would tell them to go back where they came from. Well, you know what? their ancestors originally came as slaves, and that's what he means when he talks about people elected to the United States Congress ought to go back where they came from. That's the kind of open racism that you and I, when we were growing up, we heard all the time, both because of the times and people felt perfectly comfortable saying those things. You know, there were phrases that children used that you and I both remembered, eeny, meeny, miny, moe,
right,
things like that were just ugly and vicious. And they suggested that black people were somehow subhuman. Well, that's what Donald Trump has won new adherence to the Republican Party as a result of saying out loud. And
Joe,
we all remember what they all said about that.
Joe, let me.
That's telling it like it is.
Joe, let me ask you. In this article, court demolishes Trump's absurd claim of immunity. Were your thoughts that a man can say, as the president of the United States, I can do whatever it is I want to do. The absurdity of this man to say I should be free to say whatever I want and do whatever I want as president of the United States. No other president ever, it never even came to mind. This guy is not the president, but he's already setting this in motion. That when I, if I win your thoughts.
Well, as a matter of fact, for 4 years, that's exactly what he did.
Yes.
He was the most criminal president we've ever had. We watched his greatest crime play out in real time on January 6, 2021, when he refused to leave the presidency after being defeated by the most votes in American history. Okay, he does not believe in democracy. He does not believe in the Justice Department. He does not believe that the president should not be a criminal. He was basically the first mob boss president that this nation has ever had. He used the presidency to fill his own pockets. He bought a hotel in Washington, D.C., and sold floors of it to foreign governments who were trying to buy off the president of the United States in order to control our country. And as a matter of fact, that's why, that's why he was the greatest ally that Vladimir Putin and the Communist Party has ever had in America as president of the United States. Because Vladimir Putin, as we all know, helped elect him president. The government agents of Vladimir Putin's Russia set up phony websites pretending to be Americans and filled websites with propaganda to get Donald Trump elected, and everyone knows it. And as a matter of fact, ever since, in the 4 years he was president and since he's been president, Donald Trump, first of all, tried to extort Ukraine to run a phony investigation to sabotage the Joe Biden's presidential campaign, claiming that Joe Biden was a crook. If you want to get all of this aid, military aid, to protect you from Russia, what you have to do is set up a way to sabotage Joe Biden's candidacy by saying that the Ukraine prosecutors were going to investigate his corruption as vice president of the United States under Barack Obama. Well, Volodymyr Zelensky refused, and as a result, Trump has been opposed to Ukraine and supporting Russia's invasion of Ukraine ever since. I mean, this is the corrupt, most corrupt president we have ever had, who carried out a crime that we all watched on television to try to hold on to the presidency, to remain as president after the American voters voted him out by the largest vote in American history. So why wouldn't he want to have absolute immunity as president? He acted like he did for 4 years and got away with most of those crimes.
So, Joe, hold that thought. 844-967-2789 is the number. None other than the award-winning Joe McNally, all the way from beautiful Charlotte, West Virginia, is on the line, and award-winning journalist. You can join us again, 844-967-2789. I'm so glad to have Joe on the airways. We'll return. The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. My guest is my good friend, former colleague, and award-winning journalist Joe McNally, all the way from Charlottesville, Virginia. And Joe, you know, we were talking about an article that appeared in January 16th, Shepherd Express, and you were talking about court demolishes Trump's absurd claim of immunity to commit crimes. You've been talking about, you know, what he did in the past. All those things, Joe, are self-evident for people to see. You don't have to dig through anything. Nobody has to fabricate anything. All those things are there. And furthermore, he says them openly, even as he's in courts almost every day. He's not backing up off of any of these things that he's done. And yet, Joe, when you look at all of those things, the crimes that he's committed, he's still saying, and people are still saying, that's my man. Donald Trump is the guy I want to become president of the United States again. And he's already said, yeah, he hasn't mentioned anything about policy, Joe. Nothing. He's just said the damage that he's going to do.
Yeah, that is his policy, the damage he's going to do. That's why that's all he says, because he's promising to do it again. He's done it before. He did it when he was president. And here's the thing, though. I agree with you. It is really sad that so many people in America will say right out loud that they support someone who does not support democracy, who does not support America. That used to be important. You know, all politicians in all parties used to proclaim their patriotism,
right,
and their love for America and their love for democracy. No longer. The Republican Party is going to nominate a man who is a criminal, who is the only way he can avoid trial for the most violent crime, when he sent a mob to shut down the Congress of the United States to prevent Joe Biden's votes from being counted, because Biden won by such a historic margin. The only way that he can get by with that will be if the court system allows him to delay it until after the November election. And I let me say this now. I do not believe he can succeed in doing that. And here's why. You know, I will say just as much as anyone else that this is a corrupt right-wing Supreme Court with a 6-3 majority, because Donald Trump appointed 3 justices of that 6 vote supermajority, the same supermajority that wiped out the right to vote for abortion all over, the right for women to succeed to have an abortion when they have a troubled pregnancy, or they simply do not want to have every children they can have every time they become pregnant in the United States of America. Or it's a child who was raped by someone in their family, could be forced to give birth at 12 years old or 11 years old. This just vicious, ugly things, because there are people who religiously believe that abortion is wrong. That's not a majority by any means. It's not even, it is, everyone knows that there are horrible things that happen for the people who want to have children. There are horrible things that can endanger their lives or force them, good God, to give birth to a dead child or to give birth to a doomed child. And to outlaw reproductive rights for women to protect themselves when they could die, that is not a democracy. That is not a civilization. That is vicious and ugly. You can call it religious. You can call it your religion. And believe me, I respect anyone who does not support abortion for themselves or someone in their families, although I find it hard to believe they would say that about an 11-year-old child. But everyone has the right in America to have an opinion on abortion. Here's what they don't have a right to do. They do not have a right to enforce their religious beliefs on everyone else in America. You have a right, if you don't support abortion, don't have an abortion. But you do not have a right to pass a law to save a woman's life or to allow her not to be forced to carry a dead child, for God's sake. That is just ugly. And you know, Donald Trump did that. He did it, and the Supreme Court did that by basically wiping out freedom of religion in America. That says that you aren't free to have your religious beliefs in America. You aren't free because politicians who have never had to give birth to a child can pass laws preventing you from saving your own life or saving a horrible fate
so Joe,
for someone in your family.
So, Joe, we're going to take a short hiatus. When we come back, We're going to talk about your article from January 22nd in the Shepherd Express. The fake Republican primaries were over before they began. Wait a minute. You're not saying that right now. What is her name?
Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley. You're not giving her a snowball's chance in Hades? Joe, we got to take a short hiatus. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. My guess is award-winning Joe McNally will return.